calling the Tri-City Tips Net. Calling the Tri-City Tips Net. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango. My name is Dave, located in the town of Preston. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. The net operates on 147.060 repeater with a PL tone of 156.7. If needed, the secondary is 146.97 with a PL tone of 156.7 hertz. The net is held each Wednesday evening, starting at 7 p.m. local time. Various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. It's also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset. The TIPSnet is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins. And when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down to the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have a question for the net. We will ask for questions after everyone is checked in. There are three sections to the TIPSnet. First, the open net with rounds of questions and comments. Second is a section for announcements of upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there is an opportunity for those who wish to swap, sell, or are seeking amateur-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to the net control station. When checking in, please say, "This is," unkey the mic, listen to make sure no one has heat up at the same time you have, and then slowly give your call sign phonetically along with your name and location, and note if you have a comment or a question. Let me reset. This is Dave, Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango, your net control for this evening. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo, Tim, City of Groton.
Good evening, here is Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf, Kevin in Norwich. No questions at this point.
This is Kilo Charlie 1, Kilo Lima Zulu, John in East Lyme. No questions, back to net.
Alright, well, so far we have KC1 TWR, KC6 PDG. It might have been a mystery station in there, because it seemed like they keyed up in the right sequence, but I had no audio, and I have KC1 KLZ. So are there any further check-ins for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TIPSnet? Please come now. All right, didn't hear anything. I don't, nobody said they had, nobody had any questions or comments yet. So, I guess I'll have to come up with some wackadoo idea of what we ought to talk about. Let's make it a pretty easy one. Let's talk about what are your other hobbies besides amateur radio? I know amateur radio has, in my years, has gotten me a few jobs. And when I was when I got my pilot's license, I found a lot of hams that were also pilots, which is kind of fun. So, let's talk about something until maybe something will come up that will take us in a different direction. So we'll start off with Tim, KC1TWR. This is K1DCT in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tipster.
That my wife would say that I have is I like to go out and buy stuff and clutter up the house with it. Usually tools and what have you, or not tools, but whatever strikes my fancy at the moment. And we led us to the point where we have a rule in the house for both of us. Nothing comes in the house unless you know exactly where you're going to put it, and if need be, what are you going to take out that you're going to replace it with. I will make a quick comment. Last week we talked about, I mentioned NBEMS, Narrowband Electronic Message System, and come to find out that's like saying SSB or CW. It's not really a piece of software. FLDigi is usually the software that's associated with it, which I'm looking into downloading and playing with. So I did want to make that comment. And other than that, I don't really have any hobbies. I'm a jack of all trades, both in hobbies and professions. So, and of course, most importantly, master of none. And with that, back to net control. This is KC1TWR.
Oh, very good, Tim. I like the, what are you going to, where's it going to go and what's going out? I like that mode of operation. Because like yourself, I have, I call it every tool known to man. There isn't, along with many other things, I like to fix everything. So, lawnmowers, I also collect antique radios. I have too many hobbies. And, at least according to someone, not according to me. But so far, I haven't gotten to the point where I had to throw anything out to make room. But I have, through the years, cleaned out a few things that weren't serving the purpose anymore. So let's go down and see what Kevin, I've heard about some of Kevin's hobbies. So be forewarned. Kevin, this is K1DCT in the TIPSnet.
I'm only going to mention the clean ones, so don't worry there, Dave. Good evening to all. KA6PDG with a toothache and a sore throat and a bottle of antibiotics and a dentist appointment again on August 5th. Just took a nap, so hopefully that will help me kind of get through this. Anyway, hobbies, interests that sometimes also can take the form of an avocation or can sometimes interact with other hobbies. So I guess as I would list rock collecting. I like collecting rocks. I have rocks from all over the world, many of which people brought me, many of which I have picked up from various places, including rocks from the beach at Normandy, for example. And then, of course, there's bells and bell collecting. I'm also into trains. I like playing the keyboard. Usually it's the piano. And I like experimenting, coming up with recipes, cooking. You know, that's something I could call a hobby. And it's interesting how some of them do. I also like making audio recordings of stuff, particularly nature sounds, but also trains, which is where sometimes they cross, because I like doing audio recording, but it also relates to my interest in trains, my interest in bells. I put out a CD of all of Norwich's bells about 9 years ago, which copies are still available. Hi, hi. But I don't see where any of my hobbies, or any of my other hobbies, I should say, have crossed with ham radio. So I have not found a rock collector's net or a bell collector's net. There are some railroad interest nets, one or two, but I haven't got involved in any of them. And there is actually a cooking net, but I only checked into it once. They threw me off. No, I'm just kidding. KA6PDG, back to net control.
All right, well, very good. Well, I just wonder along the way, you know, when your, interest in trains and rocks, if you, run into, all of a sudden, you run into another ham. It's like, oh, and I know in my case, you run into somebody, it's like, oh, I didn't know you did this also. And I've run into that a few times. So, just interesting how sometimes these hobbies cross. Maybe sometimes they don't. Let's find out what John wants to throw into the kettle here so we can cook it for a while. KC1KLZ, K1DCT, and the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net.
This is Kilo Charlie 1, Kilo Lima Zulu. I do whatever I want. I don't do it good. I enjoy an afternoon nap. I do enjoy mechanical things. I like playing with old engines. I got a 1914 8-cycle air motor. And for some reason, I've got a fixation with water pumps, the old piston pumps, etc., etc. And I got a windmill. I love playing with my windmill. I'm a little weird, but I prefer the term eccentric. And back to you, Ned.
Yes, eccentric is a good word. Sounds better than nuts or crazy. Just means, in the mechanical world, if you have something, an eccentric something, it means that, the hole is not in the center. It's more of a elliptical type thing. So that's not a bad thing, but we have a lot of the same interests, tools and engines, fixing things. And as far as Tim says he's a master of none, I like to think I'm a master of all of them until proven otherwise. And with that, let's pause here for a second and see if there are any further check-ins for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. Please come now with your call sign. This is K1DCT. Net control. All right, well, I get the sense that there's somebody out there, but there's no audio, so if you can figure that out, we'll be here for close to another 45 minutes, but who's counting? So that brings us back to the top of the list. I don't know if Tim will go through quickly, see if you have any comments or questions about anybody else's interests. We'll go down through one more time, and then we'll come up with something. J1 DCT.
Well, thank you, Dave. You know, I was thinking about what Kevin said about, you know, he had heard of a, as far as crossing between the amateur radio hobby and another hobby and the railroad engineers. It dawned on me that that's probably because they do use radios, not amateur radio radios, but those kind of radios, their own frequencies and so forth for that. So that would be one case, but I agree with him. You know, rock, whether it's rock collecting, bell collecting, arrowhead collecting, or what have you, you know, this might be a means to an end for people to exchange information, but they probably pick other means of having communication at this point, with the technology being what it is today. And other than that, I did want to mention that we had a pretty good time with the Field Day. Fox Hunt. That's because the Fox Hunt started out a little bit difficult for them, but then they found the fox very quickly. It only took about a half hour. But it's given me some ideas for a collaborative fox hunt at some point in the future, and something to make it more interesting. But with that, I'll go back to net control. This is KC1TWR.
All right, very good, Tim. Yes, I listened, but I wasn't able to get out that afternoon. What was I doing? Oh, it was nice and cool right here in the cave, and there was a RIDI contest starting at 2 o'clock, so I did participate in that a little bit. I'm not a huge contester. You probably won't see me listening to USD, but... I like to get in and poke around a little bit, and like I said, it was a hot day, and this was a cool place, so we'll go down to Kevin and see if he has any comments about anything that was said. And I'm wondering, Kevin, with those rocks that you're collecting, I'm hoping a lot of them are quartz, K1DCT, and the tip net.
Well, I used to have a pretty good quartz collection, but then my ICOM 215 died, and I had to, I think I threw it away. That was a good comeback there, Dave. I like that. I do have some rocks with quartz in them, of course. Many rocks seem to have quartz in them. But none that seem to be resonant on any meaningful frequency anyway. But that's an excellent thought. Well, the most interesting hobby that I got from everybody's list was the windmill. I think that is very, very cool. And it also reminds me, last week at the Raycon Club meeting, there was a video of an 8mm film, I think it was 8mm, maybe it was 16, that had been made a lot of years ago by some hams here in the area. And if you were at the Raycon meeting, as I know Tim was, you saw that, and it was very interesting. Of course, I had to rely on my ears and what other people were telling me about the film, but one of the things was a windmill that was visible from the, I think it was visible from the Raycon repeater site, which was where it is today. So, makes me wonder, and somebody said that windmill is still there. Let me reset. However, I don't think it belongs to KC1KLZ, I don't think, because I believe KLZ lives down along the shoreline. John, but correct me if I'm wrong, John. But I find that a very interesting one. And also the thought occurs to me that there are so many hobby and special interest type nets. I mean, that's one of the reasons you have nets in the first place. But I've heard car collector nets and UFO nets. In fact, there's now a subsidiary or a MUFON net on the Glastonbury repeater. That's Mutual UFO Network, for those who don't know. And I kind of feel for those guys because they have to be sort of low-key and discreet, because I guess they've had, not necessarily on the Glastonbury Nat, but on other Nats, they've had trouble with people making fun of them and stuff, which is too bad. Have I run into anybody? I think just with the trains, maybe. And in fact, there is a ham here in the area who either does or used to work for the steam train, the Connecticut Valley Railroad, years ago, and I can't remember who it was. And I tried to find out when I was down at the steam train a couple of weeks ago, but nobody knew. But yeah, a lot of special interest nets, I guess, was the fact I wanted to get across. And you can do some searching on the ARRL net directory, but a lot of, like, classic cars, and I'm trying to think what other ones. Well, a lot of computer user nets. There's user nets for almost every kind of radio, of course. And so there you go. I just ran out of anything that could pass as intelligent to say. KA6PDG, back to net.
All right, very good, Kevin. I don't know, just something to throw out there, and I got kind of wound up in something today. So I've used up most of my usable brain cells today. Let's find out if John can tell us a little more about his windmill. I'm wondering, is it actually producing power? Because I know the one that Kevin's talking about. I haven't seen that one up there on top of the hill turn in a long time, because I have seen windmills in operation, and then next thing I know, they're gone, or they're, we'll call it locked rotor, because they're not spinning, even though the wind's blowing. So maybe John can fill us in. Hopefully he's generating his own power and living off the grid. Over to you, John, K1DCT in the Tipsnet.
This is KC1KLZ. Yeah, I got a 40-foot tower and a 10-foot mill. 10-foot means the fan diameter is 10 feet. It's a windmill. It's designed to pump water, gives you a vertical, I guess you call it, reciprocating motion up and down. I'm set up for about a 9.5-inch stroke. I've got a well cylinder under it. What I do is lift water from a pond about 18 feet lower than the windmill. I lift it up and then pump it up another 15 to 20 feet into a storage tank. So when I spray vegetables and stuff, I have adequate water for spraying. Has nothing to do with generating electricity. It's not a wind generator at all, although the concept is cool. I never quite got into it. When I was a little kid, I took a paper clip and stuck it into a wall outlet, and that cured me of any curiosity of electricity. Back to you, Ned.
All right, well, fascinating about the, drawing water with the windmill, and also sticking the paper clip. I bet after that, your parents said you were grounded. I know, tough joke, but that's interesting anyway. Having worked for the power company, I've seen a lot of windmills generate electricity, but, and I know a lot of the older farms and stuff had windmills, and that's drawing water was exactly what they did. So you've got water to take care of the gardens and animals and that kind of stuff, so very good stuff. So at this point, we'll make a little break and see if there are any further check-ins for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tipsnet. If so, please come now with your call sign.
November, Kilo, 1, Victor, Steve, Coventry.
Good evening, Steve. So far we've been talking about other hobbies. Sometimes you belong to a club, no matter what kind of club it is, and you mention other hobbies and people look at you with strange eyes like there's something besides this. But I think most of us have alternate things. So you can jump in there, or maybe you had a question. If you mentioned one, I missed it. So we'll give you a little instant service. So over to you, Steve, K1DCT in the Tip Net.
Good evening, all. NK1B here, Coventry. And that was me trying to get in 3 or 4 times. And it is related to my other hobby, which would be camping. And earlier in the evening was working with the same radio as this radio, doing an install, and I had some issues, so in my ultimate wisdom of troubleshooting, I took the known good control head from this radio and several cords and so on, and went out in the dirt and played around and got that other one working, and then returned here and quickly thought I had plugged everything in to get going, and not quite the case. So after 3 tries, we're up and running again. But that's a connection there because I do ham radio and camping as part of my whole thing there. I actually like doing things more remote and kind of like mini field day, plus with really good food. Back to Matt, NK1B.
All right, very good, Steve. Well, glad you got things sorted out there. Yep, camping, or as I like to call it, cramping. Not really into it, but my wife likes to camp under the sign that says Hilton. So that's what we do. But I do like the idea of, wherever you go, every weekend or every trip, there's like a little mini field day. Because I have a QRP rig that I use on field day, and I take it on vacation, and I've operated from numerous other states, including the state of confusion, and had a good time just operating QRP, 5 watts, having a blast. You don't make a ton of contacts, but it's fun stuff. So I guess that'll be our next topic here is remote QRP. You like that kind of stuff? We'll go up and see what Tim has to say. KC1TWR, this is K1DCT in the TipsNet.
I've never done QRP, and I don't do CW, and I have not really gotten into the digital age, and FT8 and so forth really doesn't hold any fascination for me. So I'm just gonna blanket, put it right out there. I don't do QRP per se. So that's the answer to that. I was going to also bring up a question with the storm we had, the thunder and lightning and all that Monday night. We had the ARIESnet, and we made an announcement at the beginning of it. Please use your indoor antennas. Don't be hooking up to your outdoor antenna. And on Facebook, I noticed some of the groups I'm in, amateur radio related, that some people had lost their rigs, and indeed their rigs and computers due to lightning strikes. Which got me thinking about, I'm wondering how many other people had, not just recently, but in the past, had lost equipment, and was it repairable, wasn't it? Let me reset real quick. And part part of that goes back to the first computer I ever owned, which was a Commodore 64, and I was in the backwoods of Massachusetts, and I was showing it to my aunt, and she lives way up on a hill, and we could see way off in the distance, several miles away, was a little storm going by. We saw one little lightning strike or something. I mean, you could barely see it. It was way out there. You could barely hear it. But with the, this is back in the, oh golly, this had to be back in 1978, 79, somewhere around there. But apparently it was enough to knock the fuse out in my Commodore 64. And even though it was miles away, so that impressed upon me. Anyhow, I've rambled on too much about both subjects. Probably not giving enough information, but back to you, Dave, KC1TWR.
All right, well, that's interesting. Yes, then lightning strikes are a very unique phenomena. You know, you think you're miles away, and didn't take much. So yes, I know. With Monday night storm, I was I came down here and double checked everything. The antennas were disconnected. Switches were in the ground position. And I think the only thing still connected was this rig. To the 2 meter antenna, because this rig's, I don't know, mid-80s. So any days I get out of it now are purely bonus. So I'm not too worried about it. So, but let's get on to Kevin and see what he's got to say about lightning, QRP, remote operations. We'll just have a little free-for-all here. Over to you, Kevin, K1DCT in the TIPSnet.
All right, some interesting topics there. That's cool. And good evening to Steve. I suspected that might have been you, Steve, and I'm glad you're sounding good now. Your audio is perfect. As far as the lightning, I have to ask, I have to pose the question that maybe that lightning flash you saw miles off in the distance actually caused somewhere along the electrical infrastructure a voltage surge or a spike or something, and maybe that's what caused the fuse to blow. Just a thought. Now, on the subject of QRP, I'm interested in that subject. I was thinking a while back about the time that the tree came down on the back of the house and my antenna came down with it. I was thinking, wouldn't it be interesting to get into QRP, and how cool would that be? And I regret to say that I allowed myself to be talked out of it by some of my ham friends, or maybe they were acquaintances. I guess I've always thought it would be cool to have a portable HF rig of any kind that would, you know, transceiver. I've always liked the idea of operating HF from a boat. I love operating HF from a car. I only had, I did own a car out in California that I installed HF in. I just think that's such a hoot. Operating HF from a remote location out in the woods, like camping and using a battery and a temporary antenna, I think that stuff is just magic. I really do. And similarly, I've thought about QRP. One idea that has come to me, and this is going to lead up to a question for you, Dave, but one idea I've thought of is with a 5-watt radio, even if you're just using a hunk of wire and it's an inefficient antenna, you're not going to blow up the radio. So goes the theory. That being said, obviously an efficient antenna is better than an inefficient antenna, whether you're using 5 watts or 500 watts. I do recognize that. But given sort of that line of thinking, in other words, had I gotten a QRP rig after the tree came down, maybe I at least could check into the Sound Lab Engineers Net, or one of the nets where there are some local operators that would hear me and maybe relay me in. The question, Dave, is in your QRP operations, have you found that if you have a, maybe it depends on the band, but if you have a station that's very, very loud, reason to think maybe they're very close to you or you have an excellent path to them, do you find it's pretty easy to operate those stations, to work those stations, or not? And people convinced me that if I got a QRP rig, I would end up being frustrated, and it would be kind of like, why not save the money for something more efficient, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I'd love to hear more about your experiences, Dave. How frustrating is it? Of course, you seem like a very patient guy, putting up with people like me, making long transmissions every Wednesday night. So it may not be an issue for you. Okay, 6PDG, back to net.
All right, Kevin, well, thank you. I'll take that compliment, though I think other people might disagree with you. Sometimes I'm a raging madman, but I can tell you I'm flipping through one of my old paper logbooks that is full of QRP operations, 5 watts for the most part on CW, and you don't have to do CW, but I mean, I worked all over the U.S., and into Europe many times. You know, it's a little more rare. You know, you have to struggle a little bit, but you know, you have to be up to the challenge. You wanna run a 2kW. You know, it's pretty easy to make contact. So but I'm flipping through this book, and it's just, you know, page after page of 5 watts, CW, and, you know, like I said, all over the place. Here's one. I took it up to Maine one time. I actually operated field day from Maine, and, you know, not a long time, because we were up there with friends, but, you know, I threw a wire up in a tree, and I was making contacts. So it can be done, and I've probably blathered on long enough here. Let's see what Steve does when he's camping. Is he QRP? Is he dimming the lights in the whole campground? Over to you, Steve. K1 DCT in the Tipsnet.
NK1B. There's a lot there. First of all, yes, I do like QRP. I'm not ready for yet. It is on my bucket list, but I don't have the patience for that. I have been, as you guys may or may not know, I have been doing some Parks on the Air stuff, which started out very rough, but the past couple weekends have gone very well. Actually, last weekend went very well. I've activated several local parks, and that's really neat, because I'm pretty much, I'm not actually in the truck, but I'm using the battery, secondary battery in the truck, and I'm using the truck as a ground plane for an antenna, but I get out my little table and all that, and I sit down in the park, and so far it's worked. I haven't done any hiking or any stuff like that, but I have been within the boundaries as required. And camping, I kind of do the same thing. I kind of have a setup. I usually try and get some kind of long wire up. Let me reset. All the power supplies and lighting and LEDs and stuff make just a concert of noises. So, but I usually do good with, I usually try to have all my repeaters programmed in and stuff if I go anywhere of any distance and that kind of thing. That's always fun, talking to new people and stuff. But, I love the going out and setting up and getting all, making a bunch of contacts. I actually had my first pile-up Sunday afternoon when I activated Gay City State Park. I guess because of the extreme weather, there was like nobody there to speak of, and there was lots of people home in front of their rigs with their air conditioning blowing on their back. So I that was kind of exciting doing that. But that's all I got for this round. NK1V, back to that.
All right, well, very good. Well, I'm not sure what sparked me, pun intended, to get into QRP. I'm not really sure what it was, because, I mean, most of the rigs I've ever had, with the exception of the specific QRP rigs, have all been capable of, 100 watts or something in that neighborhood. And I think it's just something I started doing one day. I think it might have been, I vaguely remember having a contact with someone in the CW mode. And, we exchanged what our power was. And then I said, well, let me drop down to, say I went from 100 to 50. And they did the same. And, I got down to 5 watts. And if you do the math, it's, yes, you're going to notice some S-unit differences, but we were still able to carry on a very readable conversation without difficulty at 5 watts, and I think something like that just triggered it, and it said, well, let's do this all the time, and I did, so that's about it. Well, I'll throw it to Tim, just see if he has any. We'll go one more time around here, see if anybody wants to comment on my comments or somebody else's comments. And, maybe we'll get Kevin back on the air. I know that's something coming up, so maybe when we get to you, Kevin, you can enlighten us on the updates. But until then, let me pause and see if there are any check-ins for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Please come now. This is K1DCT. You're next control.
Here's Whiskey 1, Julia, Oscar Papa, John, City of Groton.
All right, John, well, we've been yabbering on here for a while, talking about other hobbies, QRP, remote operation, as in actually taking your radio somewhere, not dialing into your radio through your cell phone. I think I got it all. I don't know, so I'll give you a little instant service. You can jump in feet first and comment on any of those items or come up with something of your own doing. W1JOP, K1DCT in the TipsNet.
I just got done with dinner and that sort of thing, so I haven't been listening to that, but QRP definitely does interest me. I believe it or not, I have a QRP capable rig, I believe. It's a Yaesu something or other, HF, but because of where I'm at, I can't really use it. A lot of RF noise around here, that sort of thing, and no real place to put up an antenna, etc., so that's gonna wait a while until I get my own place. And when I turn it back to Nat, just got off work not too long ago, and all in all, it was a good day. One more day, and then that's it for me. I don't believe in working on Fridays, and the weekend I obviously have off. Anyway, back to Nat. This is W1JOP.
All right, well, that's a good philosophy. No work on Fridays. And the weekend, so I totally agree with that. And if you have a QRP rig, you could certainly get an antenna and just someday go out and throw it up in a tree, put the rig on the passenger seat of the car or in the back seat. I mean, that's what I do during field day. I take my little rake and I sit in the back seat with the one half of the back seat folded down. I use that as my table, put the rake there, sit in the other seat, just with the clipboard on my knees, and copy down my contacts. So anyway, try it out someday. You may find that it's a lot of fun, at least while the weather's good. So I think, we got one more time to go through, and anyone with any final comments, throw them out there. KC1DWR, K1DCT, and the Tipster.
Okay, for final comments for this section of the Tipsnet. QRP does fascinate me because I always like the concept of being able to just take a radio, go out, and not have to have the full-blown rig with amplifier and everything else, and still be able to make some kind of contacts. You know, just keeping in mind that usually it's the antenna more than the radio that's, that can be a limiter if you're not careful. But and I am curious, you know, when the inspector will come for poor Kevin, so he can finally get himself back in the air again, and hopefully that won't be too soon. Hopefully it'll be before the snow flies. And other than that, I don't have much to say, so I'm going to put it back to you, Dave. This is KC1TWR.
All right, very good. So we'll get down to Kevin and see if he has any updates for us. K6PDT. K1, yeah. Yeah, I said that right. K1DCT in the Tipsnet.
Yeah, I know. It's a long call sign. I stumble over it sometimes, too. Well, I think Tim just jinxed me because he said he hoped it wouldn't be too soon. Actually, miracle of miracles, after 3.5 weeks of nothing going on, they've actually been working out here yesterday and today, so there's a glimmer of hope. Maybe before my 100th birthday, I'll be able to get back on HF. Apparently, there was some disagreement somewhere along the line, and that's all I know. Let's see. For some reason, I wrote down the word finger. I have no idea why. I was going to mention that I've heard that when Steve is out camping and he gets on HF, he puts out so much fire, power on his rig that the campfires and all the campsites dim. I don't know if that's true. That's what a park ranger told me. And I'm also interested in this Parks on the Air, Steve, and I should look it up online. I'm curious. Because you mentioned some state parks. Can they be state parks or national parks? How about municipal parks? What are the parameters there? I've also been thinking, since I like, and most hams do kind of like mountaintops and high locations, I wonder if anybody's done, or one of the ARRL has ever been asked to sanction vistas on the air or hilltops on the air. Because let's remember that some states don't really have mountains, so in a place like Kansas, it might be something that's 85 feet high, but if it's the highest point in the state, to them it might as well be a mountain. But mountaintops or hilltops or summits on the air, I've always thought would be fun. Now, my friend Chuck, all these things on the air kind of drive him crazy. I was telling him that I discovered a couple of weeks ago they have beaches on the air. B-E-A-C-H-E-S, so nobody gets confused. And Dave, thanks for restating the CW aspect of QRP. That's one thing I'd kind of forgotten about. I'm capable of doing CW. I used to do a lot of CW when I had my tech license and could get on the novice bands the radio club I belong to loaned me a Argonaut 509, 10-tech Argonaut, and I used that for probably a year before I upgraded to General, and made a lot of great contacts. So that's, I guess, something I could consider getting back into CW. I tend to rag you a lot, and then that's one handicap. I think that's all I have. KA6PDG, back to net control.
All right, very good. Well, let's get right to Steve, and he can fill us in on the parks on the air. I think National Parks was last year, if I remember correctly. And this year, I think it's State Parks. So, but Steve sounds like he's got a little more info, so let's not muddy things up with what I think. Let's find out what Steve knows. NK1D, K1DCT in the tips net.
K1V. I do believe in 2016 there was a ARRL involved event with the National Park System called Parks on the Air, and that was a big success, and there was a lot of further interest in it after. I don't remember the guy's name. It is all on the website. I don't do well at remembering things, but anyways, there's a gentleman who realized that there was enough demand that he could start this other organization, Parks on the Air, which is all volunteers and is members of the league and stuff like that, but it's not actually run or affiliated by the league, or it's just, you know, independent situation. It is derived from Summits on the Air, which was something that they had going, but the pool of activators is limited, you know, people who not only have the equipment and the technology, but have the physical fitness to climb the top of a mountain 3 times a week to, you know, maybe make some contacts. Let me reset. So it is a large, tremendously large number of state and federal parks, and those parks have to be cataloged by the organization, which they took a momentary pause. They're kind of regrouping a little bit because there was such a demand. There will be coming up the ability to request another part, you know, parks that you know of, because there's all kinds of parks, even the smallest little any kind of something that's been set aside by the state or federal for some sort of recognition. What else? Yes, so one thing that if anybody's interested, what you can do is register with Parks on the Air, your call sign and everything, and join the Facebook group, which seems to be the biggest thing. Is that when I go out and I set up, the first thing I do is I post myself on their site, on their site, and then I post myself on the Facebook group for Parks on the Air, and it has immediate success. There's a 20 or 30 hunters that are usually pretty much waiting for you to go to make some contact. So, of course, good. And a lot of the people in my club and stuff, I'll text them and stuff like that to see if anybody's around, so try and make a contact, which does work. But it gets a little bit, with the computer and the radio and the texting and everything, that gets a little bit heavy. Back to that, NK1V.
All right, very good, Steve. Thanks for the info. Yeah, I've worked a lot of these parks on the air, different things. So it's always it's fun to chase some of this stuff around. Gets a little radio activity, and that's always good. So let's pop down to John here. W1JOP, K1DCT, any final comments about anything you've heard so far?
Now I just list now. Interesting as always. But I see it's about 5 of 8, so I'll just listen out. This is W1GOP.
Alright, John. Well, thanks for checking in. All right, we'll move along here to the second section for announcements and items of interest. If anyone has any, either of those items, or would like to announce them, please come now. This is K1DCT in the TipsNet. Okay, no announcements. We'll move into the third section, which is cell swap and seeking amateur related items. Anyone seeking, selling, or swapping, please call now. Okay, I do have a quick question for Kevin. What kind of antenna are you hoping to put up in your in the hopefully near future while any of us are still capable?
Oh my goodness, now I'm looking for the name again. Tim knows the name. I bought an antenna. It's like a G5RV, but it's not. If you don't mind, Tim, what's the name of that antenna that you reminded me the name of last week?
I don't have the foggiest. Sorry, Kevin.
Oh my God, we need to have a senility net. Dave, I can't remember the name of it. I'll probably think of it after the net is closed. It's like a G5RV, but it tends to be a little bit more broadbanded, I think. Anyway, I've already purchased it, and that's what I'm planning on putting up. It's the same measurements as the large G5RV. KA6PDG.
Okay. Probably, I don't know what they call them, double bazooka something. Anyway, all right. My question, my reason for asking was I have a pretty good supply of wire and a decent supply of coax that, you know, needs to be used up sometime in my lifetime, and I'm not using it at the rate that I thought I was, so I was going to offer you some, but apparently you have some self-contained apparatus that will serve you quite well, I'm sure. So, with that, I will make this the last call. Lights are going up. We're going to put the stools on top of the bar. Any last-minute check-ins for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet? Please come now. This is K1DCT, your net control.
Just that you reminded me, it's a doublet antenna, KA6PDG.
All right, very good. All right, well, that will end this evening's net. Since there are no further check-ins, I'm going to close the net at this time. I thank all those that participated, and thanks to those that stood by while we conducted the net. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month at the American Red Cross office at 1031, that's 1031 Route 32 in Montville. Meetings start at 7:30 and are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club may be found at www.tricityarc.com. We thank John, W1AN, for the use of the repeater. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo 1, Delta Charlie Tango. Good evening and 7-3.